Our reading this morning, dear friends, is from Luke chapter 18, and we read from verse 9 through to verse 17. Verse 9 through to verse 17. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." People were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not harm them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Last week, you remember, we looked at the story, the parable of the persistent widow and the unjust judge. What a story that was. A widow who in persistent came to this man who had no regard for God or for man. Someone who was totally unjust and immoral. And in the end, he just gave in and said, "Because this woman is nagging me, you know, I'm going to give her what she needs." That was his motive, which of course was a very wrong motive. He should have been willing to listen to her cause. But what Jesus said in that parable was that God is not like that. God is not the one who is unjust. God is the one who hears our prayers and will answer our prayers according to his will. Jesus goes on in the same chapter to introduce us to the Pharisee and the tax collector. If there was a comparison last week, there's another comparison here today. And the whole intention of Jesus is telling this parable was to indicate the reality of prayer and to give the reality as well of righteousness and self-righteousness. He gives the story of two men. One was a Pharisee, a religious man, someone who obviously had a standing within society, came to the temple to pray. And how did he pray? He boasted about himself. "Oh Lord, aren't you fortunate to have me here today? Aren't you blessed to know that here I am? I'm a totally just man in every way. I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, not even like this miserable man here. What is he doing in the house of the Lord? He's a tax collector. Oh dear, dear. What is he doing at my side even?" That was his attitude. He was so full of himself, full of his own self-righteousness, that honestly it's painful just to read these words. "I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I get." And then this tax collector was coming at his side to pray. And what a contrast. He would not even look up to heaven. He beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy upon me, a sinner." He came in humility. He came recognizing his sin. He came totally dependent on the God who would forgive him his transgressions. And Jesus said, "Who went home justified? Who went home forgiven?" And he leaves it up for us to decide. He doesn't say, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." What is Jesus telling us here, dear friends? I believe he's telling us something very important. The dangers of self-righteousness. Of perhaps coming into a situation in our Christian lives where we look down at other Christians. Perhaps we have, in our own experience, considered ourselves to be good people, righteous people, religious people, in the full sense of the word. And there's a list here. Fasting, tithing, moral superiority, not falling to sin. We can categorize ourselves in many ways as being people of faith, and people who trust and believe in God, yes. But the moment we move away from the central truth of Scripture, that we are sinners saved by the grace of God, we fall into the trap of self-righteousness. There's been a lot of self-righteousness. There's a lot of self-righteousness in the religious world at the moment. I was reading an article about the mega churches in America. Those churches that appeared in the 50s and 60s of large auditoriums and thousands of people attending. But they became money machines. Money machines where their pastors live in $10 million mansions. Ooh. Have their own private planes. No hope of that in Greenfield. Huh? Yeah. And those who live a sort of lifestyle that is far beyond anything that Scripture relates to. Self-confidence, self-righteousness. Do you know that Mr. Trump has had a gold statue dedicated to himself in America yesterday? There he is, the gold statue. And flocks of evangelical Christians coming around and bowing like they came to the golden calf when Moses came down the mountain. Falling into the trap of self-righteousness. Falling into the trap of we have arrived spiritually and all the rest of you, well, you're just fodder for the fires of hell. Yeah? If that attitude enters into the life of a church, then we have lost the true spirit of the gospel. We have lost the true spirit of the teachings of Jesus. Look at the example of him who was rich beyond compare. Look at what Scripture says. Paul says it. Paul, once self-righteous, arrogant man who came to destroy the Christian church and came to stood over the stoning of Stephen and thought it was an act of righteousness. He speaks in the book of Philippians in the way in which he looks at Jesus now. He who humbled himself and was obedient even to death upon the cross. The Lord of glory had no place to lay his head. He had no place to call his home. And yet he came from the realms of glory to redeem the lost and to bring us into a relationship of grace with a God who is Father of us all. Friends, all who come within the church of the Lord Jesus Christ are welcome. It doesn't matter who or what they are. If we start looking down at people for their whatever nature or their characters, then we begin to fall into this trap. Of course, God gives us the gift of discernment, but we are here to help and support and to come alongside people who perhaps have been the casualties of life. We do not come here to judge them. We don't come here to say that we have a superiority of faith over them. No, we are all children of God. You know, one of the conditions we have on a Wednesday night when we greet many friends who come here to the soup station, and some of them are poor, lost souls, we don't judge them. There, but for the grace of God, go I. The reality is that we are called to be like Jesus, who taught his disciples the way of humility. You know, when Peter and John came, who's going to be first in the kingdom of God? Oh, we've arrived now. We are disciples now. We can do everything that we are called to do. You've got to be a slave first before you'll be to be anything else. You are called to serve in my name. Those who seek to be the first will be last, and the last will be first. Dear friends, in this age in which we live, there is a danger that this church can sometimes fall into this trap of self-righteousness. But we are here because God first loved us and gave himself for us. We are here today because we recognize our need for a Savior. We were once in that distant land, but God has welcomed us back unto himself. The reality is that we are ransomed, healed, restored and forgiven in the grace of God, and it is by his grace we are saved through faith. We can come to him at any time. We can come into his presence and know that he will accept us as we are. And when we trust and believe in the redeeming work of Calvary, dear friends, his blood covers all our iniquities. All our sins are gone. Aren't we grateful for that? Does that fill us with self-importance? I may speak the languages of men and of angels, but have not love, I am nothing. That's the truth of the gospel. It's a gospel of grace that meets with you and I today. And thank God for that. Thank God for that. I felt a little bit important a few years ago, you know. More than a few years ago. I'll never forget when I first came to Greenfield. And I went to do some visiting. And I went into a home of a lovely lady. She's passed on to glory now, of Greenfield. And I went in. And, you know, on the way out, I noticed she had a picture of me on the wall. Me on the wall. It was from my induction leaflet. And I looked young in those days. I looked like Dolly Osmond. No wonder she had it up there. But the reality was this. But she said, Mr. Jones, oh yes. You see, I've always had the ministers of Greenfield on the wall. You know. Every one of them, they've all been in that church. I thought, well, I'm in good company now. BJ Davis, Gwyn Owen, look out, I've arrived. I've arrived. Huh? I've arrived. And I went out the door and I thought, David Jones, for goodness sake. For goodness sake. It's the only house that there'll ever be a picture on the wall of you. But that's the reality of it, isn't it? We can so be full sometimes. Let us never fall into the trap of self-righteousness. Let us remember that we are saved by the grace of God. This man had lost his way. He was no doubt a good man. He was high in society. He was considered to be among the elite of his community at that time. But one thing he lacked, one important element in his life he lacked. He forgot. And he was not aware even that he was a sinner who had been saved by the grace of God. And then here is the power as well, I believe, of humble repentance. Let's go and look at the tax collector for the moment. The tax collector stands far off, won't lift his eyes, beats his chest, and prays the simplest of prayers. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. This man knew exactly who he was. We know the tax collectors in the time of Jesus were ostracized within society. We know that they were considered to be quislings to the nation of Israel. They could take from people exactly what they thought they wanted to. They could do that. There was no tax regulations, and they would sometimes deal dishonestly in terms of taking money from poor people. It is no wonder. It is no wonder that they were hated. And he came to a situation where he realized this. I wonder sometimes if he'd heard of Matthew, another dreaded tax collector. He who had taken from people, taxed people unjustly, and yet he left his tax booth and he followed Jesus when God did. Why did Jesus call him? Why did he call him? What about Zacchaeus? Up on the tree, wanted to see Jesus because he was ostracized as well. Why did Jesus bother with people like this? After all, he was a Jew. He knew what was going on. But the life of Jesus was one of reaching out to those who were on the periphery of society, reaching out to those who were considered to be hopeless and lost in terms of the society in which they lived, those who were considered to be sinners against the laws of Moses and the prophets, those who were traitors to their lands. And yet Jesus called them. It's amazing when you think about it. And it's something that should bring to us a sense of confidence that Jesus was not confined by those who were standing in society, but rather he reached out to those who were on the periphery, those who were considered lost and beyond redemption. I wonder if this man had heard that. I wonder if this was Matthew. I wonder. Scripture doesn't tell us that. But it's the same as the story of the woman at the well, you remember, who had five husbands, and the man she was living with now were not her husband. Oh, that would have been the talk of Seaside when I lived there. You know, the reality was he went out of his way. He welcomed sinners. He brought unto himself the lost and the lonely, the bereft, the rejected of society. Yeah, and this man realized it. And he came in humility before God. The essence of this man was not his repentance, it was the nature of his repentance. He came in humility, recognizing that he was a sinner. And that's why this man received mercy. That's why we receive mercy today. Because we are sinners saved by the grace of God. We all have our stories to tell. We've all been in the distant land. But Jesus declares him justified. He now wears the robes of righteousness. He didn't have to try harder. But he came in honesty and humility. Grace had met with him that day. Grace that flows from heaven above. Grace that fills the lowest places in our despondency and our rebelliousness against God. Grace that meets with you and I in our need of redemption and restores us and brings us back into the presence of a God who embraces us in love. Amazing grace met with this man. The amazing grace of forgiveness. The amazing grace of God's love. The amazing grace that can turn those hard-hearted, rebellious sinners who come in humility and receive that which God freely gives. It's a free gift of God's grace.
It has nothing to do with who we are or what standing we have in society. This man received grace. He received forgiveness. That couldn't be given to this self-righteous man. He'd arrived. He was confident in his own faith. He boasted. He was judging others. The very posture that Jesus condemned, which he saw in the Pharisees and the scribes and those who come to condemn him because they didn't see in him was the gracious love of a God who reaches out to all in love. So, dear friends, whatever your situation this morning, I pray that we would have this heart of repentance to know that we are loved beyond our deserving. We have no right to be self-righteous, not one little bit. The self-righteousness of the men who stood over that woman taken in adultery, who was going to throw the stones upon her, Jesus said, if you haven't got any sin, then you throw the stone. I can't throw any stones, I've got too many sin. But I have a great Saviour. And you have a great Saviour. And you and I can stand and boast in the cross of Christ, as Isaac Watts said, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine. Amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. I have known people who have been rejected in churches because of the self-righteousness of some of the leaders of those churches. I hate to say that this morning. I have known people who have been hurt because they have come and yet have been rejected because who they are and what they are. That has no place in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are sinners saved by his grace. We stand condemned because of our rebelliousness and sin. But we have a Christ who died upon the cross and declared it is finished. The temple curtain was torn in two. The grace of God, clothed in righteousness divine. Now, it's not a righteousness of my own. It is the righteousness of God. My sins fall away. Dear friends, this man came in humble repentance. There's no other way to come to Jesus. No other way at all. So John Newton, who said, amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Jesus declared this man justified, as he did with the thief on the cross. In those very last moments, remember? The thief on the cross said, Lord, will you remember me? Did Jesus turn him away? What a sinner. Why was he there? He was a thief. He deserved to die. He said that in the statement to the other prisoner, the other thief on the other cross. This man has no sin with him, but we deserve to be here. And in those very moments, grace met with him. With him. Never been to chapel in his life. Never read the Bible in his life. But came in humility to the King of glory. Today you will be with me in paradise. Today. Isn't it wonderful? Dear friends, we should be shouting hallelujah this morning. Because we have a Saviour like this. We should be proclaiming from the very rooftops of our churches and chapels that here is a Christ who welcomes all who will come to him. We need to do away with our self-righteousness within the church and realise that we are those who have this message to proclaim that is gloriously good news for this dark and evil world in which we live. I was watching the parade from Moscow yesterday. Vladimir Putin putting on a show as he did, as they do every year. It's normally sort of absolutely unbelievable in the terms of the tanks and the soldiers and the implements of war and the nuclear missiles that fill Red Square. It was something so different yesterday. Something so different. I was looking at that man, you know, and I could see in his face. He's not the arrogant man he was before. There seems to be something in Vladimir Putin that wasn't there before. And do you know what it was? The realization that what he was showing that day was a show of his failure. And whatever will happen in Ukraine, that man will go down as one who has caused innumerable suffering to millions of people. If only he would turn to Christ. If only he would learn the ways of loving God and loving our neighbour. Yeah. The chains would fall off, his heart would be free. And he would follow the ways of love, righteousness and peace, of loving neighbour and loving God and following the ways of Jesus. Jesus is the only hope Jesus is the only hope for us all, but Jesus is the only hope for the self-righteous. The only hope. Because he has taken ourselves in our sin and clothed us with his righteousness. And we must know that. Here was a man who came in humble repentance. Here was a man who came recognizing that he needed the forgiveness of God, and he had it. And God will not deny that to you or to me when we come to him in Jesus' name. And then Jesus goes on to say, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Notice what he says, will be exalted. Not only forgiven, exalted, you will be up there. Yeah. In the right sense of the word, you will be exalted with him in glory one day. You will be with him in eternity, because the proud will fall and the humble will rise and the self-sufficient will come empty and the broken-hearted will be healed, because that's what he has promised through this. And it's lovely to know that Jesus finished this parable with the story of children who came to Jesus. People were also bringing babies to Jesus. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked him. There's a sign of self-righteousness again. But Jesus called the children to him and said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Notice what he says. Such as these. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Childlike faith. A simple trust in Jesus. Not understanding everything theologically, but understanding that Jesus Christ is Lord. Understanding that Jesus came into the world to receive sinners and to restore a lost relationship with God. The heart of a Father in heaven who would not see one lost, who reached out to those who were in need and established their kingdom of God, grounded in the simplicity of a simple faith that comes by trusting in him. It's all of Jesus. It's all of him. It's all of trusting and knowing that we are the children of God. So come to God, dear friends, as you are. Don't pretend before him. He knows your heart. Let us never be self-righteous. Let us always welcome all who come within these walls. Let us be the church that Jesus calls to be. Let us remember that we are all sinners saved by the grace of God. And remember, even somebody like me who had my photo on the wall that day and I felt, oh, so important. When I went through that door, I realized, David Jones, for goodness sake, grow up. Yeah, remember. Remember what you learned in Bethlehem's side. Ah, that Jesus loves you. And that Jesus loves us all. And has given us that wonderful truth in his word. So dear friends, here we find it. Here we find the good news of the gospel. Here we find the negation of self-righteousness. When we come in humble repentance, God will receive us as we are. Let us come as little children, not childish, but childlike. And let us seek to build the kingdom of God. Here in Llanelli and here in the community of which we are a part. Never let pride or self-righteousness bar us from being the people of God. I think it was Gypsy Smith who said, I'd rather keep a saving house within a yard of hell than to dwell in the courts of the righteous. That's wonderful. It really is. So dear friends, let's remember, let's be those people of God in the times in which we are living. Let's remember the Pharisee and tax collector. Let's remember that we are saved by the grace of God, because in Christ alone, our hope is found. Amen.